This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our Bulletin of Church News with Pope Francis, joined by a multitude of pilgrims in the recitation of the Angelus. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to the family. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Sunday was joined by a huge crowd of pilgrims and tourists gathered in St. Peter's Square to recite the midday tradition Marian Angelus prayer. In his catechesis before praying the Angelus, Pope Francis reflected on the presentation of the Lord in the temple, which he said serves as a reminder that Jesus is for the salvation of all peoples and that he is our light. The Holy Father then invited the faithful to truly seek the encounter with God. Linda Bodoni reports.
Greeting pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis reflected on the feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple.
Oggi il Vangelo della liturgia ci parla di Maria e Giuseppe.
Taking his cue from the Gospel of Luke, which tells of when Mary and Joseph brought the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem, he drew attention to the prophetic words of Simeon and Anna, who proclaimed that the long-awaited redemption of Jerusalem had arrived. Their recognition of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise, the Pope explained, highlights the radical newness of this moment. God is present among his people, not because he dwells within four walls, but because he lives as a man among men. Mary and Joseph, he continued, are deeply moved and astonished by this proclamation. And listener Simeon identifies Jesus with three significant words: salvation, light, and a sign of contradiction.
Gesù è la salvezza, Gesù è la luce, e Gesù è il segno di contraddizione.
First, the Pope said, Jesus is salvation, an awe-inspiring truth that emphasizes how God's redemptive love is fully embodied in one person. Second, Jesus is light. He illuminates the world, much like the rising sun, dispelling the darkness of suffering, evil, and death, which the Pope noted continues to afflict humanity today. Finally, Jesus is a sign of contradiction, revealing the deeper truths of human hearts. Through him, history is judged by one criterion, that of love. Concluding, Pope Francis encouraged the faithful to examine their own spiritual expectations and ask themselves, what am I waiting for in my life? What is my greatest hope? Does my heart desire to see the face of the Lord? Am I waiting for the manifestation of his plan of salvation for humanity?
Aspetto la manifestazione del suo disegno.
Let's all pray together to Mary, he said, that she may accompany us through the lights and shadows of history on our journey to the Lord. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In his remarks at the end of the Angelus, the Holy Father called for the protection of children in areas of conflict, especially in the eastern provinces of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Pope's appeal comes on the eve of a summit to be hosted by the Vatican on Monday, the 3rd of February, on children's rights. The theme of the summit, the Pope announced, is Let Us Love Them and Protect Them. And it will bring together advocates for the rights of children from all over the world. Pope Francis stressed that this summit presents a unique opportunity to bring the most urgent issues concerning children's lives to the world's attention. He explained his joy in hosting and in participating in the event, and he invited the faithful to pray for the success of this meeting. The summit and the Pope's appeal for peace and for the protection of children worldwide comes at a time in which humanitarian crises are plaguing all corners of the globe. Amidst violent conflicts, it is the youngest people whose lives are most affected. Pope Francis reiterated his appeal that war destroys, devastates everything, takes lives, and leads to a disregard for life itself, before adding the fact that war is always a defeat. And as the Church marks the Jubilee Year of Hope, Pope Francis turned to world leaders, and in particular those of Christian faith, urging them to commit themselves fully to negotiations aimed at ending all ongoing conflicts. In particular, his appeal called for an end to the suffering caused by conflict in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Myanmar, Sudan, and North Kivu in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Pope's appeal for peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo's eastern province of Northern Kivu serves as a reminder of the violence the province has faced for decades, where armed groups terrorize communities and where millions of people have been displaced with no access to homes, education, healthcare, or even food and water. Families have been torn apart and children are left without even the most basic needs that would see them survive. While the most intense and prolonged violence in the Democratic Republic of the Congo is concentrated in the eastern provinces for which Pope Francis has prayed, other regions are also experiencing instability. According to the United Nations, as of April 2023, 7.3 million people are displaced in the Democratic Republic of Congo, particularly in North Kivu, South Kivu, Ituri, and parts of Maniema and Tanganyika. 2 years ago, Pope Francis visited the Democratic Republic of Congo and met with victims of the ongoing violence in the eastern part of the country. During his trip, which took place between 31st January and 5th February 2023, the Pope denounced the economic colonialism that fuels the cycle of bloodshed, and he urged the world not to ignore the suffering of the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo. On that occasion, too, the Pope reminded the international community of its responsibility to act and not stand in silence. Brother Adolf Mlengezi Mingano is a religious brother of the Consolata Missionaries studying here in Rome. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Brother Adolf says that 2 years since the visit of Pope Francis to the DRC, his appeal for peace still stands.
The Holy Father has already really put a good message when he was visited Congo, but the situation is still the same. It's like we are talking to an empty container that cannot really capture the message. So the situation should change. This message from the Holy Father that he left, and we thought maybe the visit of Holy Father in Congo would change something. But just a few months later, now the situation has become even worse. So we have nowhere to go and nowhere to seek for help. And these are innocent people, 30 years. So they all started in Congo when I was 5 years. So I grew up seeing war up to now. We are not living like a human people. We do talk about dignity of life, but there isn't. In Congo, you can't tell me about dignity of life, and I have never really enjoyed being a human being in this country that is really overwhelmed with blood everywhere. So we are tired of this. We are seeking help from also the international community to intervene on this matter. And the message of the Bishop of Goma was also to intervene also, to exhort also people of goodwill who could also assist our brothers and sisters who are running day and night. They have no hope. They have nowhere to go.
Congolese-born Consolata Missionary Brother Adolf Mulengezi Mingano. We shall hear more about the Democratic Republic of Congo and Brother Mingano in our feature on family later in this program. Pope Francis on Saturday evening prayed the first Vespers, joined by men and women religious. The Vespers came on the eve of the World Day for Consecrated Life that the Church observes on the Sunday of the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus in the Temple, which this year falls on 2nd February. During the Vespers, Pope Francis urged the religious men and women to truly encounter one another and the Lord in the Eucharist. Devin Watkins has this report.
Catholics across the globe prayed on Sunday for the many men and women who offer themselves in service of the Church and their brothers and sisters. This year, the Church celebrates the 29th World Day for Consecrated Life, which takes place annually on the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. Ahead of the celebration, Pope Francis prayed first Vespers with thousands of consecrated men and women in St. Peter's Basilica on Saturday evening. In his homily, the Pope noted that this year's event is held during the Jubilee of Hope and in preparation for the Jubilee of Consecrated Life, which will be celebrated on October 8th to 12th. He focused his reflections on the three evangelical counsels, poverty, chastity, and obedience. Evangelical poverty, said the Pope, frees religious from attachment to worldly things so that they may become a blessing for others. They manifest the goodness of those things in the order of love, said the Pope, by rejecting everything that can obscure their beauty. The Pope praised consecrated religious for bearing the light of your chastity, which finds its origin in the Trinity and the love between the three divine persons. By renouncing conjugal love, he said, religious speak to the world about the primacy of God's love, which is the source and model for all human love. Their example overturns the drive for superficial relationships and selfish affectivity that seeks to use others for our own fleeting pleasure. Religious, said Pope Francis, become a reflection of God's love in their desire to accept and respect everyone without coercion. Pope Francis then spoke about the example of obedience that consecrated people embody in their deep sense of responsibility animated by mutual trust. When lived in the light of God's word, he said, obedience becomes a response to love and a prophetic sign for society. Instead of a flood of words and images, the Evangelical Council of Obedience acts as an antidote to isolated individualism since it fosters active listening. In conclusion, Pope Francis invited consecrated men and women to return to the origins and find renewal in the Eucharist. In prayer and self-oblation, he said, let us repeat with our founders, see, I have come to do your will, O God. I'm Devin Watkins.
Catholic bishops in the Gambia and Sierra Leone have called on the faithful to deepen their commitment to life, justice and reconciliation as part of their observance of the 2025 Jubilee of the Church. In a statement following their January 19th to 26th plenary assembly that took place in the Catholic Diocese of Kenema, members of the Interterritorial Catholic Bishops Conference of the Gambia and Sierra Leone emphasized the fact that the Jubilee should serve as a time of prayer, conversion, renewal, restoration, and hope. They urged Catholics to strengthen their spiritual lives and to take concrete steps in order to foster peace and unity in their communities. In their statement following their plenary meeting, the bishops from Sierra Leone and the Gambia also spoke about the Jubilee of Hope, which they said offers the people of God a singular opportunity to build their relationships with Christians of other churches and ministries and with the followers of other religions. The Catholic bishops encouraged effective celebration of the sacraments of reconciliation and of matrimony during the Jubilee, calling on the people to place greater emphasis on the spiritual preparation and post-marriage pastoral accompaniment. The faith extolled parishioners, families and church organizations to dedicate more time to praying together and to organize pilgrimages to diocesan cathedrals and religious shrines. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family.
Over the weekend, reports from the Democratic Republic of Congo says hospitals are filled with over 700 unclaimed bodies and many others still lying in the streets of Goma. Hospitals and paramedics have attended to over 3,000 injured persons, but others are too scared to venture out. The crisis in the DRC city of Goma, home to more than 2 million people, began on Tuesday, when Rwandan-backed M23 rebels seized Goma, East Congo's largest city. Goma is also the capital of North Kivu province, and it is known for its lucrative gold, coltan, tin mineral resources. In fact, the root causes of the violence and the war is the quest for these mineral resources which power our smartphones, laptops, and electric vehicles. By Friday, the M23 rebels were moving towards the city of Bukavu in South Kivu, but it appeared they were held up by Congolese troops supported by the Burundian army. the war in eastern Congo has worsened what was already a precarious humanitarian situation. Brother Adolphe Mulengezi is a member of the Consulata Missionaries, a native of Goma and Bukavu himself in the DRC. Brother Adolphe Mulengezi is currently studying in Rome at the Pontifical Salesian University. He is our guest on Family Today.
Thank you very much for having me. My name is Adolphe Mulengezi Mingano. I am a Consulata Missionary Brother from the eastern part of the Republic Democratic of Congo. I am currently pursuing a master's degree in social communication and digital media at the Pontifical Salesian University in Rome.
We'd like to precisely, Brother, talk to you about what is happening currently in the Democratic Republic of Congo. First of all, how is your own family in Goma and the surrounding area, since you come from that area? Any news at all?
Thank you for your concern. Goma has been at the heart of this devastating crisis, and the situation is incredibly difficult. My family, like many others, is currently confined to their homes, unable to leave due to the ongoing violence. Communications has been very challenging because of the instability, and I remain in constant prayer for their safety. People in Goma are facing intense fear, with the city now caught in a state of panic. The people are uncertain of what the future holds as the conflict rages on, and many are living in extreme distress. Families are also finding it difficult to access basic needs like food, water, and health care. It is a heartbreaking reality to witness the suffering of so many innocent people. I continue to urge the international community to take immediate action to prevent further loss of life and also prevent relief to those confined by this violence.
We are also told about the internet in Goma, that it is down. There is no water, there is no electricity, the shops have been looted. Are you able to tell us something about what is happening in the city from what you are hearing?
The situation in Goma is critical and deteriorating rapidly because the reports of internet blackout, lack of water and electricity, and widespread looting are deeply concerning. These conditions have left the population in a state of vulnerability, cut off from the essential services and communication. So anger, disease, and insecurity turn everyday life into a fight for survival. From what I have heard, there is a widespread sense of fear and helplessness among the residents. Families are struggling to find food and clean water, while many have been forced to flee their homes for safety. The looting of shops adds another layer to the humanitarian crisis, as people are losing their means of survival while trying to survive in already fragile environment. So this level of instability undercuts the critical need for immediate humanitarian.
Do you know if the local church, if it is involved, what are you hearing? What is the church saying about the situation there?
The local church in the Democratic Republic of Congo has always played a pivotal role in terms of crisis, and this situation is not different. So the church is deeply involved in responding to the humanitarian emergency caused by the conflict in Goma and the surrounding regions. The recent pastoral letter from Bishop Willy Ngumbi of Goma is a testament of the church's active involvement. In his letter dated January 27, Bishop Ngumbi condemned the recent bombings, including the attack on the neonatology unit at the Charity Materno General Hospital, which causes the death of newborns. He encouraged the faithful to show solidarity with the displaced, stressing the importance of offering assistance and prayers for peace. But also the bishops and clergy in the region have been outspoken about the ongoing violence, and they have condemned the actions of M23 rebels and called for an immediate end to the hostilities. The meaning of their message is to emphasize the importance of dialogue, reconciliation, but also justice as the only sustainable solution to the crisis. And the church also, but also we can't forget that it is not only addressing immediate needs, but also raising its voice on the national and international stage, calling leaders and organizations to intervene and protect the dignity of the Congolese people.
But do we know precisely in general what is happening not only in Goma, but in the Democratic Republic of Congo?
The situation in DRC is really pathetic, not only in the eastern part of Goma, but also the situation in the country at large. So we need really peace, because without peace we can't do much. And people have been suffering for the last 30 years. The situation has been really in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And millions of innocent people have lost their lives for things that they are not aware of. So we have to help these people to come out from this situation, because we can't be just at peace one side and another part of your body is suffering. As a human, we have to make sure that everything is in control. The Republic Democratic of Congo, after all these years, has been in war. The country cannot really raise itself. Education system has been a problem, because this time now of war in eastern part of Congo, the student cannot go to school. Alimentation is a problem. Nothing is going on. So the country is really at loss, and it is really, we can say, to shut down because of the activities. So the situation is really critical at this point, and the same thing is also affecting all the country, not only the eastern part, but the country is like a full body, where when you have a pain on your finger, it's the whole body that is contaminated. So the eastern part of Congo that is affected, it's also affecting the entire country, and the system is not functioning.
When people are running away, where are they going? Because the border, I'm told, is closed with Rwanda. And where are they going? Where is there to go? The other part of the lake?
It's really a suffering. It's like running in the bush, whereby you don't know, it's a burning bush where you are running to. These people that we have been accused to make Congo what is happening now today, like Rwanda, these people, some, according to what I heard, some people flee to Rwanda. Because Goma, if you have been to Goma, it is really bordering Rwanda. There is Gisenyi, the one we call Petite Barriere. There is also the one they call Grand Barriere. People, they didn't know where to go. Because when you are attacked like that, even you can go to your own enemies. So some flee to Rwanda to search for refuge. And then those who do not cross, because there is a lake and there is no circulation of ships that are going to Bukavu, they are really confined in their homes. And those who are in the camp is really overloaded. People are living in a condition that are not human.
Even if you run to the bush, there are other rebels there, not only M23. So
that is it. There is really danger. There is nowhere people have to run to, because they have left their areas where they used to do farming. And that's what has even brought also another crisis about alimentation, because people have run away from the villages where they used to cultivate and grow crops so that they may help themselves. But nowadays, they have run to Goma in a city that is now overpopulated, and people are now locked in the houses. They can't go out. You know, there is fear, there are guns, there is these situations. So there is nowhere to run from.
You've spoken about the letter of the bishop there, Gumbi, and I think it was a prophetic message, but also linking with the Pope. When the Pope visited there, I think he also said, hands off Congo, and he was encouraging, let Congo breathe, let these people, 30 years is a long time for war. The country can't move on, as you said.
It's like we are talking to an empty container that cannot really capture the message. So the situation should change. This message from the Holy Father that he left, and we thought maybe the visit of Holy Father in Congo could change something. But just a few months later, now the situation has become even worse. So we have nowhere to go and nowhere to seek for help. And these are innocent people, 30 years. So they all started in Congo when I was 5 years. So I grew up seeing war up to now. We are not living like a human people. We do talk about dignity of life, but there isn't. In Congo, you can't tell me about dignity of life, and I have never really enjoyed being a human being in this country that is really overwhelmed with blood everywhere. So we are tired of this. We are seeking help from also the international community to intervene on this matter. And the message of the Bishop of Goma was also to intervene also to exhort also people of goodwill who could also assist our brothers and sisters who are running day and night. They have no hope. They have nowhere to go. And also the bomb that they are killing also innocent people. We have to stop war. We have to let Goma, let Congo breathe and live like any other nation, because we have right to live. We have right to life as well, like any other nation. And despite the overwhelming challenges they face, the residents continue to hold on to hope. So the path to stability in Goma is critical, not only for the DRC, but for the entire Great Lakes region.
We can only hope for the best, brother. And above all, I wish also your family back home that you eventually be able to be in contact with them. And we wish for the safety of everyone in Goma and the surrounding areas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
And keep us in prayers.
Definitely. Thank you. Brother Adolphe Mulengezi, originally from Goma and Bukavu in the DRC, he is a member of the Consulata Missionaries.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and remember to join us again at the same time tomorrow. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus. Vele la mula.